Thank you so much. That was worth getting out of bed for. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of Joshua. Joshua, the fourth chapter. We're going to break from our study of David today because of Memorial Day and look at Joshua, the fourth chapter, beginning in verse 4. Joshua chapter 4, verse 4. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe. And Joshua said to them, "Cross over before the ark of the Lord your God unto the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign, a memorial among you, when your children ask in time to come, saying, 'What do these stones mean to you?' Then you shall answer them, 'That the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial to the children of Israel forever.'" And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me as we pray. Father, I ask that you would just challenge our hearts, that you would draw us to your will. Father, that you would let us, understand what a memorial is, and that you would let our lives stand as a memorial to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you for this time to be in your house. Challenge our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. This is Memorial Day weekend. Tomorrow is Memorial Day. You know, there are at least 12 cities in the nation that claim the founding of Memorial Day. It's really kind of understood how it came to be. There's a story of women from Mississippi who went to decorate the graves of fallen Confederate soldiers. In that group of women, one started decorating a grave and she was stopped, and they were kind of astonished a little bit, and they said, "Ma'am, you don't understand. That's a Yankee grave. Why are you decorating it?" And the woman continued to put flowers on that Union soldier's grave. And she said, "I'm decorating it because I hope somewhere in the North there is a mother decorating the grave of my son." Well, many communities have similar stories of honoring the dead, the fallen of war. We do know General John Logan commanded that graves of fallen soldiers should be decorated with flowers on May 30th, 1868. Now, it did not mark any particular battle, so he just called it Decoration Day. So Decoration Days continued. Many, many years later, may I say again, many, many years later, I remember going to Decoration Day. I remember going to Union Hill Church at the small cemetery that's there and decorating the graves, a time of honoring those who had fallen and a time of cleaning up the cemetery in those days. I remember them as a time when people came together and people remembered those who had passed. The day came to be known in our nation as Memorial Day. Originally, it meant the remembrance of those who died in war. It came to mean those who offered their lives in sacrifice defending our flag. Poppies came to be known as part of that celebration. Poppies were worn by people on Memorial Day. Poppies were put on each marker of each fallen military person, each one that had shed their blood to defend our nation. You need to understand, Memorial Day was never meant to be a festive occasion to get a discount on a couch or a mattress. Miriam Michael speaks of its more solemn nature in her poem from 1915. We cherish to the poppy red that grows on fields where valor led. It seems to signal to the skies that the blood of heroes never dies. The United States, we talk of freedom, we enjoy freedom, we abuse freedom, but seldom do we ever stop in our hustle and bustle to understand the high cost of freedom. I dare anyone with a shred of a heart to go to Normandy and look out over the 9,400 grave markers there, or go to Lorraine, France, where there's almost 11,000 American graves where lies the bodies of American men and women who were willing to sacrifice themselves completely for the cause of freedom. I dare you to look out on those markers and not be moved in your heart. Those markers are memorials with a deep meaning. Go to our nation's capital. Oh, wow, it's full of memorials. There's the Washington Monument, the Jefferson Memorial, the Lincoln Memorial. Oh, but so much more. There's the World War II Memorial, the U.S. Marine Corps Memorial, the Women in Military Service for America Memorial, the U.S. Air Force Memorial, the Vietnam Veterans Memorial, the Vietnam Women's Memorial, the Korean War Memorial, the Veterans Memorial, the D.C. War Memorial, the Navy Merchant Marine Memorial, the African American Civil War Memorial, the U.S. Navy Memorial, the U.S. Coast Guard Memorial, and in an untimely fashion, the last one placed, the memorial to those that fought and paid the ultimate price in World War I. The war to end all wars. Now, there are many more than that, more than 90 memorials there in the nation's capital. But all the memorials are capsuled in the words that's written on the Korean War Memorial. Freedom is not free. You see, memorials are important. It shouldn't surprise you that God has placed some memorials. Did you know the church is a memorial? Every time you pass a church, it should remind you of who God is and what God has done. Especially when you pass your church. It should call to your remembrance the love, the forgiveness, the compassion of God, the redemption and mercy, the glory of God, of Jesus and all that He was willing to do that you might be forgiven and you might have a heavenly home. And I dare say when you pass by your church, it should remind you that there's a time each week that you should be there. And you should worship with your brothers and sisters in Christ, and you should lift up the Lord who means so much to you. And that's what you'll do if He means so much to you. Today we look to a passage where God sets a memorial. It's a memorial at the spot where God separated the water from the dry ground that His children might be able to cross to safety to the promised land. Now, it's a good thing that God put this memorial in the Bible because the reality is most people don't know that this happened. Oh, people know about the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. They know about the blood put on the door. They know about the people setting, almost 2 million of them setting out, and then Pharaoh's army coming after them and the chariots bearing down on them. They know being pressed against the Red Sea, and they know of Moses crying out to God and the water separating, and Israel went across on dry ground. They know that. They know Moses looks a lot like Charlton Heston. But they don't know the rest of the story. Exodus 6:8, "And I will bring you into the land which I swore to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you as a heritage. I am the Lord." God would not only take them out of Egypt, God promised he would lead them into the promised land. And so God gives a memorial to remind in Joshua 4:6 that this may be a sign among you. God's purpose was not to bring God's people out of bondage in Egypt, saving them by opening up the Red Sea so they could go across on dry ground just to bake in the desert. No, God gave them another miracle. God gave them a miracle so that they might cross the Jordan River on the other side, and crossing the Jordan River, they set foot on the promised land. Joshua 3:17. All the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed completely over the Jordan. Now this was a mighty show of God's power. You may see the Jordan River today and say, well, big deal. The Jordan River today in many places is a little more than a creek. But in that day, the Jordan River was several hundred yards wide. In fact, if you go to the river in that area, which our party had the privilege of doing, we went in that area. You can look at where the river flows in its bed today, and you can look out and you can see where the river used to be. You see the banks several hundred yards away. At the time that the Israelites came to the Jordan River, it was over a mile wide because it had overflowed its banks. God had made a promise. He was going to bring them into that land that he had offered them, that he had given them. Now, some may think that this is just a rehashing of the Red Sea story, but these stories are different. It's not the Red Sea, it's the Jordan River. In the Red Sea situation, the army was coming down. Moses spread out his arms. The Bible says that the winds blew and separated the water and had to pick the water up and push the water apart. So there was water on each side. And they walked through on dry ground. In this case, it's a river. It's not a sea. And so the water did not have to be separated that way. The Bible is very clear that it was not separated here. It was cut off. The flow of the river was cut off that they might go across on dry ground. God's power ushered Israel out of Egypt, out of the bondage of sin, and God's power ushered them across the Jordan on dry ground to the promised land. 12 stones were set to remind them. 12 stones, one for each tribe. God's power and God's truth was shown in those stones. The fact that God keeps his promises was shown in these stones. And that's really important because you need to understand God will keep his promises to you. The people are forgetful. Some people forgot to come this morning. Some people just kind of forget everything. An older woman asked her husband one evening to go to the kitchen and bring her some ice cream. She said, "Write it down, you'll forget." He said, "That's kind of ridiculous, isn't it? This is my house. That's my kitchen. I know where things are. I know where the ice cream is. I don't have to write it down." She said, "Write it down. I want ice cream. I want chocolate syrup on the top. If you don't write it down, you'll forget." He grumbled a little bit and walked out of the room. He didn't write anything down. Time passed, a long time passed. And then he, with a smile on his face, came back into the room carrying a plate. there on that plate, bacon and eggs and grits. She looked at him, she looked at the plate, she shook her head, she said, "I knew it, I knew it, I knew it. You needed to write it down or you would forget. I told you to write it down. You forgot the toast." Well, in America, we need to be reminded of some things. We need to remember the brave men and women who were willing to go to the extreme that we might be free. We need to be willing to understand that people went to lands they had never seen before and fought battles with people they did not know because they wanted to fight for freedom and our flag and our land. We need to see the memorial to wake us up that lives were offered. You see, lives were offered to save the world from a socialist Nazi oppression in Europe. And lives were offered to save those in Korea and Vietnam from communist suppression. Go to the graves and remember those lives. How dare we in America, how dare we choose people for our Senate and our Congress and high offices of our land that espouse socialism and communism today? Listen, we need a memorial to jog our minds that such paths lead away from God, and we fought battles and people gave their lives that it not come to America and that it be fought back where it was. We need to remind people that socialism and communism have failed. And if they're raised again, they will fail again. And they will take people with them. And they both stand against God. God had them put a memorial in place so they would remember they did not free themselves from Egypt and they did not have power to enter the promised land on their own. Every time we see a cross, whether it's in a church building or on a steeple, whether it's on a necklace or tattooed on somebody's skin, that cross itself should remind us that Jesus had to suffer, bleed, and die that we might be forgiven of our sin and given salvation. If we have accepted his offer on the cross, why don't we worship him? Why don't we lift him up? Why don't we share him? God set a memorial in the Lord's Supper. Now, last Sunday, we observed the Lord's Supper. I hope you were with us. It's always a very special time. We take the bread, and it symbolizes that his body was given for us. We take the juice, and it symbolizes that his blood was poured out for us. God has placed memorials around us so that we will not forget his goodness toward us. Do not forget that it's only by his sacrifice that you can be forgiven. Only by his sacrifice that you can go to heaven. Only by his sacrifice that you can live victoriously today. And only by his sacrifice that you have hope of a heavenly home tomorrow. On this Memorial Day weekend, remember that we're not enjoying freedom because of our looks, our good deeds, or our brains. We're only enjoying freedom today because men and women gave their lives. And likewise, remember that you cannot be forgiven of your sin by doing good deeds, dressing nice, or having a good family. All the good that we do would still fall short of erasing one sin. It took the blood of Jesus on Calvary's cross to give us the hope of forgiveness. God set a memorial to remind. God set a memorial to retell. in verses 6 and 7 of chapter 4, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord when it passed over the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off. A memorial is not just to be seen, it's to spark conversation. Could it be that we in America have come to take our freedom so for granted because we have forgotten the price that was paid for it? Could so many people be turning to socialism and communism in our day because our schools not only do not teach the evils of such movements, they don't teach their failures, and they also fall short on teaching the brave sacrifices of our military personnel to give us freedom. They don't teach what good has been done. Instead, in some of the schools, they're teaching of American oppression. Listen, the French did not think us oppressive when Americans laid down their lives to drive out the socialist regime. In fact, go to Normandy. If you get the opportunity, go to Normandy. Go to Normandy where American flags still fly. Go to Normandy where they will welcome you. Go to Normandy where Americans are not only gladly welcomed, you are honored by the fact that they know you are tied to the nation that gave them freedom. Could it be they hold that view in Normandy because they never stop telling the story? The stones reflected the power and faithfulness of God, and that God intended to keep His promises, and God intended for that to be shared. In the same way, the Christian is to share what God has done in our lives. We're to share the faithfulness and power of God. We're to share the love and forgiveness of God. It's clear God intended that fathers should lead the way in telling the story. Parents too many times leave their children's education to the winds. Listen. Parents, teach your children. Teach them about your family. Teach them about our nation. Teach them about the cost of freedom. And teach them about Jesus Christ. Teach them about the fact that He came to this earth, got a body, and lived a sinless life, and then offered that life on Calvary's cross for you and for me. He died there for us, and that is the only way for salvation. Tell them what Jesus means to you, if He means anything to you. I love how God tells the fathers in this particular instance to make things clear. In verse 7, He says, tell them the waters of the Jordan were cut off. And then just a moment later, He says, and tell them the waters of the Jordan were cut off. Tell them how important it is. Tell them what a big thing it was. Tell them what God has accomplished. How many times do you tell your children of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done? We need to tell them again and again. We need to tell them that they know Jesus themselves. We need to tell them that they serve Jesus themselves. We need to tell them until they tell their children of Jesus and what Jesus means. Listen, tell your children, tell your friends, tell the world. A memorial is to remind, and a memorial is to retell. Then God sets a memorial to recommit. In verse 24 of chapter 4, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you might fear the Lord your God forever. The scripture says, Joshua set up these stones, and the people rallied around them, and they drew courage from them. They prepared themselves to take the promised land by those stones that were stacked there. You know, there comes times in life that you need your batteries recharged. There comes times in lives when we need to examine ourselves and see if we're the people we should be and if we're walking with God like we've committed ourselves to do. We need to prepare our lives for what's coming next. I don't know what's coming next, but I know I need Jesus leading the way. As a nation, we need to look at memorials knowing that because they were willing to give their all, they were willing to stand, we need to stand for our country now. We need to hold true to the red, white, and blue today because they gave their all in their day. We don't need to waste the sacrifices. Oh, I hear the stories. I hear people saying, well, we shouldn't have gone there. We had no business being in that place. You know, I'm not going to debate on where we should be and where we should not have been. I will say this. Our soldiers, our military personnel, those that gave their lives went forward for a cause. That cause was their flag. That cause was our flag. And they stood for what was right in their own hearts. And they defended their brothers and sisters on the battlefields. And they gave their blood for a right reason. You don't have to be political to honor those who gave their all. You just have to have a heart. And if they were willing to give their all, we should be willing to stand for our nation as well. When God called Israel out of the land of bondage, it was with a memorial. You remember the memorial. They marked the doors with blood. The blood of a sacrifice. Well, what did that tell us? That told us that if we were going to be free from bondage of sin, there had to be a blood sacrifice. It couldn't be any blood sacrifice. It had to be a pure blood sacrifice. And it pointed to the day that Jesus would die on Calvary's cross. They were free from Egypt. They moved across on dry ground from the Red Sea. And they came to the Jordan in its swelling tide. And God would give them another memorial. Now God would give a memorial that would mark this new day. As a nation, when you see a flag that's red, that's white, that's blue, understand that red has blood behind it. And understand you can be proud of that flag because of the sacrifice paid for that flag. When God called Israel to put up these stones, they put these stones there and they were proud of their God and they were proud of what God had done and they were proud that they now had set foot on the promised land. And they put those stones up and they put those stones and they called the place Gilgal. May not mean a thing to you, but wait a minute. They put those stones there in Gilgal. Remember when God brought them out of Egypt, out of the bondage of sin, there was the mark of blood and the sign of the cross. When God sends them into the promised land, there's a stack of stone and there is the name Gilgal. Gilgal means rolled away. And I said and I pondered that and I thought, rolled away. Stone rolled away. Gilgal is a sign of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When the stone was rolled away and the grave was empty, and the reality is, for Israel, they were in the promised land at the place where the stone rolled away. And the truth for every believer, because Jesus died on Calvary's cross to free us from our sin, because Jesus paid the price, was buried in a grave, one day the stone was rolled away and he rose from the grave, giving us hope and a victory that we one day will rest in the promised land of glory. God didn't do anything by accident. He set the memorials so we would know. If God went to such detail to set the memorials and to line things up so that somebody like me could see it, could be able to see that the cross is there, to see that the empty tomb is there, God wants the world to know that Jesus is the way to salvation and freedom. And today, if you've never met Jesus, you need to come to know him. If you've never met Jesus, you need to invite him to come into your heart and save your soul. God left a memorial so you would know. And today you can come to know him. And if you're a believer, it's time to recommit our lives. As Israel stood at those stones and they gained courage and strength to take the promised land, we need to remember all that Jesus has done for us. We need to take courage from the resurrection power of Jesus. And that courage and that strength and that power of God will take us through whatever we face in this world. He can deal with you and he can give you a blessing right where you are, no matter what you're going through. Believers, it's time we recommitted ourselves to Jesus, that we stood strong on his word, knowing that all he has said has come true and all he has promised will come true. Would you stand with me for prayer? Father, I ask now that you would move within our hearts, that you would bring us to decisions that we need to make. Father, in this room, there are some that have never met Jesus listening online. There are some that have never met Jesus. And, oh, Father, how clear you have made it. Today can be the day that they are forgiven. Today can be the day that they're headed to heaven. They just need Jesus. Father, I pray, Father, that you would be with believers. Lord, we need a day of recommitment. We need to recommit ourselves to all that you desire for us to do, that your glory may be seen, that others may know you. We need to tell the story again and again, and we need to walk like we believe the story. Thank you for all that you have done. Move within our hearts. Bring us to decision in this moment. In Jesus' name, amen. You come as we sing.